This is Common Ground Radio, a conversation about local food and organic agriculture brought to you by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association on Community Radio, WERU, 89.9 FM, Blue Hill. I'm your host, Yvonne Vasquez. For this episode, we look forward to the 50th Annual Common Ground Country Fair taking place in Unity, Maine on Friday, September 25th through Sunday, September 27th. Today, we look behind the scenes at the tremendous efforts put on by so many to feed the thousands of volunteers at the fair. We will learn about what it takes to procure food, organize, cook, clean, and repeat throughout the very busy three-day fair weekend. Our four guests for today's program are Deb Paredes Martinez, MOFCA's Common Kitchen Manager, and Devin Salisbury, Lead Common Kitchen Coordinator, and Jeremy Pesco, Lead Common Kitchen Coordinator, and Sarah Espy Bullman, Common Kitchen Coordinator.
Welcome, Deb.
Hi, thank you for having me. Very exciting.
It's great to have you here. We'll begin with you because we do have other guests that will be joining us later. Could you tell us a little bit about what your role is as the Common Kitchen Manager and what a food liaison is?
So as the Common Kitchen Manager, I essentially maintain the Common Kitchen throughout the year, and more specifically around the fair, ensure that it is stocked and prepared to have all of our volunteers be able to serve the 5,000 plus meals that we do serve throughout the 3 days. So that looks like making sure they have enough utensils. Do they have a food processor that is available? Is everything clean for the fair? And getting that set up and ensuring that that is maintained throughout the year. And related to the fair, as a fair food liaison, I essentially review the food that is to be sold at the fair. Primarily, my focus is around the fair food vendors. That's pretty iconic, I would say, because we serve organic food with ingredients that are local. And so a lot of my work is reviewing those ingredients, working with vendors to be sure that we're following MOFCA's food guidelines and being in integrity with the values of the fair.
That's great. And what are we talking about when it comes to volume? Because I can imagine that it must be quite a lot of food that needs to come through the kitchen. And the quality of food must be very important as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All of our donations are organic. That is the ask that we have of our community members, again, to follow the guidelines of the fair. It's a lot of food being delivered and dropped off and donated. From our numbers from last year, we were serving over the 3 days, 5,000 people. So my work with procuring donations started at the beginning of this year. And we start, of course, working with our farmers, but the farmers don't necessarily know what they have until we're closer to the fair. So my work starts early with natural food stores and bigger organizations that maybe would need more lead time. I distill down from there, going more and more local until we get to farmers. And currently I'm working with farmers to figure out what kind of food we're having. Sometimes it's a mystery, which I actually really, really, really love. I love that the kitchen kind of makes do with what they have. So as like a snapshot, let's say 2-3 days before the fair, we have local farmers coming in with like pallets of food or like boxes of food. And oftentimes those are like 300, 400 pound donations of vegetables or like meat. But typically right before the fair, it's a bunch of vegetables. Last year, there were bags and bags of kale and boxes of summer squash, which were very wonderful. I would say maybe 4 to 5,000 pounds of vegetables is what we're getting, if not more.
That's amazing. When you think about when you cook at home, just how much, sometimes if you have several people over for dinner, how much you have to think and plan and make sure that you have enough. I cannot even imagine how much it must take to think about what to feed and how to prepare it, especially when, as you said, it's sometimes a surprise. So that's amazing that you and everyone who works within the kitchen can do that. Now, can you tell me a little bit about how many people it takes within the kitchens during the fair to actually accomplish all of this?
So as of now, we have 25 coordinators, and these 25 folks start pre-fare and go into post-fare. So pre-fare is incredibly important. I have maybe like three or four coordinators that help me during the week before the fair. So I think we'll start having folks September 15th this year. And those folks are getting the kitchen set up, making sure that it is to the standard that is needed, ensuring that everything is clean. We completely clean the kitchen from the walls to the vents to everything. And also, since we're starting with volunteers, we are also feeding folks, and that slowly grows from like 15 to 50 people to like 50 plus the day before the fair, because that's when folks are coming in. And then during the fair, we've probably have like 20 something coordinators all working in tandem in different areas for the kitchen. And then I have one or two folks who will help me clean up after the fair. So really, it's very much a very large team effort of very coordinated and communicative folks, where we're all trying to make sure that the kitchen is running in a way that makes it as easy as possible to feed so many people.
That's excellent. And apparently, communication is key in order for you to accomplish what you need to. What type of communication do you normally put out to the community in order to receive some of these donations for the fair?
Something that I really love is that a lot of our donors, particularly smaller scale donors, are people who have been donating, who want to contribute to the fair and do that by donating food, and they've been donating for a long time. So we have long-term folks who come back every year to donate, and it'll be a few boxes of tomatoes or whatever they're growing for that season. So that is like a pre-built relationship. Otherwise, the work that I do is through tools like our MOFCA bulletin, where we're saying, hey, if you're a farmer, if you're a gardener, why don't you grow a row for us and then donate it for the fair? Or if you're not a gardener, or if you're not a veggie farmer, and say you're like a meat farmer, maybe donating an animal if that is within your capacity. And that starts pretty soon after the fair. So December, January, we start getting prepped to do that. And then we also work within our internal communication system, so like email lists with folks who are on our farmers list or on our journey persons list, and check in, are they able to donate for the fair? Are they interested? Do they have any questions? So the ask goes through all of our communication networks, including social media as well. And then the hope is also, word of mouth. Folks feel excited about helping the fair and understand how much is needed to put this community-centered event on. And it is truly community-led. And so, hoping that volunteers also are able to spread the word that, hey, we need to feed so many people. Are you able to donate as well?
That is amazing. How did you become involved as the MOFCA kitchen manager and with MOFCA in general? I'd love to hear more about that.
I came to Maine to go to the University of Maine in Orono. And very quickly after that, transitioned into working for nonprofits. And I really love that work. And very naturally, a lot of nonprofits tend to table for the fair. And so I have been in a relationship with many organizations and have been lucky enough for many years to table at the fair in the political action area. From my first time even driving into the fair, I just completely fell in love with the Unity area and just everything that the fair was representing. And so I've kind of like been in the orbit of MOFCA and paying attention to the fair for quite a while. I also do a lot of community organizing, a lot of frontline responding to things that are happening in the community. And so at the time, I was also organizing professionally with another organization and doing a lot of volunteer management. As I was ramping down that work, I decided that now was a good time to kind of step into the world of agriculture a little bit more. My degree is in biology and environmental science. And so for me, it felt like a perfect time to try to bring my skills to MOFCA and in a place that felt very natural to me. I grew up in a kitchen, observing my mom in the kitchen. She's one of the best cooks I know. And bringing that experience and marrying that with volunteer management and organization and coordination felt like a really great fit for me. I started the month before the fair last year, which was truly a trial by fire, but I loved it. I had so much fun. I love that it's high energy and there's a lot going on and it's a new thing every day.
That's amazing. What is one of your favorite fair memories?
My favorite memory, one of the most exciting things that I saw last year that immediately comes to mind was the Thursday before the fair. That is when things were like immediately ramping up and we had more volunteers coming. There was a lot going on. And I think that was the first time I got to see a little glimpse as to how the meal service works for the fair, but on a smaller scale. And so I had a coordinator come in and we had these donations that were coming in and he was able to make a really beautiful and exciting meal that I would have never thought of. And it felt really special because it was just a coordinator meal, but yet we were still figuring out what we could make with what we had and just seeing that all pulled together and people gathering in community right before this giant event felt really beautiful to me. And I think I was also able to see the labor of my work as well, and the culmination of all the work of folks who come before me, of course, but also of what I was learning at the time too, and seeing that kind of in motion, I thought was really beautiful.
That's amazing. Is there any one thing you would love for the community to know about the fair or about what happens behind the scenes in the kitchen that we haven't touched upon?
I think really what comes to mind for me is the community and the openness that the kitchen has, you know, that these folks come in because they want to feed people. They want to feed our community. And so really they're excited to come feed folks. If you're interested in volunteering, you should, and come share a meal with these really amazing folks who work so hard and think about the fair and set a weekend aside for the fair to come do this as volunteers. I think it speaks to how much care and work has gone into building this giant Mofka community. And I think the kitchen in and of itself is like a form of gratitude that we have and that we show for the thousands of volunteers that we have. Because it's not nothing to come and spend a weekend here. It is a lot of fun, but it's also a lot of work. So being able to be a part of a team that shows gratitude in that way, I think is really wonderful. And I really hope that folks get to experience a meal, get to come by and see how much work goes into everything, not just in the kitchen, but everywhere, because in every area there's so much work going on. And being a part of it is really exciting and great, and definitely something that folks should come and see.
Well, thank you so much, Deb.
Yeah, of course. That was great.
We were just speaking with Deb Paredes Martinez, Mofka's Common Kitchen Manager and Fair Food Liaison.
You are listening to Common Ground Radio. I'm Yvonne Vasquez. Our four guests for today's program are Deb Paredes Martinez, Mofka's Common Kitchen Manager, Devin Salisbury, Lead Common Kitchen Coordinator, Jeremy Pesco, Lead Common Kitchen Coordinator, and Sarah Espy Bullman, Common Kitchen Coordinator. Common Ground Radio can be heard on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on 89.9 FM and at weru.org. This program is brought to you by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association. Hi, Devin.
Hi, Yvonne.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah Espy.
Hi.
Welcome, everyone. We're going to start with Devin. If you would like to share with us a little bit about how you came to be a lead Common Kitchen Coordinator for the Common Ground Country Fair.
Sure. It was 2009, and I volunteered in the kitchen. I'd been volunteering at the fair in different areas for a while. At that point in time, I was working as a catering chef for Trillium Caterers in Belfast, and the fair was starting to really gain traction, popularity. More and more volunteers were showing up, more and more people were camping. They'd been in Unity for a while, and so everything was expanding. And post-fair, I reached out to the then fair director, Jim, and asked if they would be interested in starting up an outside auxiliary kitchen that would be set up just like a catering kitchen where we could pop it up for the fair so we could produce more food, have more space, prep areas, just everything to be able to produce the volume. Back in those days, A really busy meal was probably 600, maybe 700 people. And now a busy Saturday night's like 1400 people. So, reached out to Jim. Jim was open to the idea. He reached out to the other coordinators. Starting the next year, we started building out this outdoor kitchen that's continued to grow. And I wasn't the lead. I was just pitching in and helping out because I knew how to set up and break down and use a catering kitchen. And then from sticking my hand up in the air that year through now, it's become something that we all get together and we go and do every single year. And the outside kitchen just keeps growing. And the outside kitchen really is what's producing the bulk of the food to feed all the volunteers.
So when you say outside kitchen, because I'm familiar with the indoor kitchen, so there's ancillary equipment that is outdoors because of the heat and the number of people and number of meals.
Correct. Oh, yeah, sorry to interrupt. So, what happens is we have a tent that goes up right outside the entrance to the kitchen, and it now actually goes onto a concrete pad. A few years ago, they poured a pad down and they put the tent up, and then we're on level surface, and we get rental ovens and ranges and refrigerators and everything we need so that we've created an additional space out there. And so, yeah, we pop that up. They put that up the week before the fair. It comes down the week after the fair, but it's really what allows us to produce as much food as we do because with the three ovens inside, there would be a physical impossibility to create food for that many people in such a short time with the existing equipment in the kitchen.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Jeremy, can you tell us a little bit about your own journey as lead common kitchen coordinator? And speak to some of what Devin just mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think my first year in the kitchen was, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Devin, maybe 2 years after you.
Yeah, I think it was 2011.
Yeah. And my friend Scott, who now is more of a facilities person at the fair, he used to be in charge of the auto gate. He wanted to move into facilities, got my wife roped in. And so my wife was basically spending the whole weekend at the fair, and I needed to do something useful with myself. And I wandered into the kitchen and just immediately found my home. I'd been doing food service for most of my life and wasn't in that moment. And so it gave me an opportunity to be a kitchen monkey again for a while. And I think partially due to me just always being there and, maybe a unique skill set, I just started helping whenever and as much as I could. And in terms of how we get it done, it's beautiful chaos. It's a lot like jazz. It just kind of happens. And I think the beauty of it for me has always been working in food service and being in charge of large teams. It's always a struggle balancing personality types and different levels of motivation and just all of the pitfalls that come with being a manager of lots of people. And at the fair, for whatever reason, it just always works. It has a lot to do with people wanting to be there and wanting to participate. And so that motivation side of the equation is just solved. And it really is just a lovely feeling.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was excited to hear the way that you so lyrically stated how it comes together. And it sounds as though it's part of what's most rewarding as well as most challenging when you're working in that environment.
Yeah, absolutely. I just watched the last episode of The Bear last night, and there was a lovely quote in there. Carmi's got a soliloquy at the end where he's talking about why that restaurant and that environment meant so much to him. And he talks about how in every other environment he worked in, everybody's just trying to survive. But here we lift each other up. And it's a great analogy for what it's like being in the kitchen.
I'm already looking forward to sitting and having a meal at the common kitchen. And if I may go to you now, Espy, what are some of the things that you've noticed and what was your journey to become a common kitchen coordinator?
I think I joined a couple years after Jeremy. Honestly, don't remember which year. But my first time at the fair, I signed up for a couple different volunteer shifts. And my first one was in the kitchen, and I was like, I love this. And I've also worked in a variety of food service jobs, really, since like even before I could drive. And I was like, I love this. And I did my other volunteer shifts. And I think even my first year, I like came back to the kitchen outside of my volunteer shifts. And then the year after that, it was all kitchen. And then the year after that, I think maybe that was when like the kitchen turned into my fair. And that really is what it is for me now, is that like being in the kitchen, being with this amazing group of people is my fair. I definitely do my little walkabout, but it's just so wonderful to be, yeah, like Jeremy's saying, like that beautiful chaos. And it really is. And no matter what we get, no matter how many people there are, like we always get it done. And it really is astounding how so many people that don't know each other and so many people that also do come back year after year, which is another one of the things I just love and appreciate so much, that there are people that do come back because the kitchen is something they love so much. And then there's new people that you see and then maybe you never see again, but you have that year and those moments where you do get to have that beautiful chaos with them.
The typical household goes through so many clean plates and so many cups and so many forks and knives and so many pans. Can one of you talk about, even sort of in general numbers, what that looks like on a daily basis throughout the fair?
Sure, I'll go and SB or Jeremy interrupt me. First, there's no way we can talk about the dishes at the Common Kitchen without giving a shout out to our favorite brothers, Adam and Ben. They volunteer every year, they show up, and they stay in that dish pit. That's their fair. It is an unbelievable thing to watch them do. And every year they say, we have an idea how to make it better and how to streamline. And that's one of the things that we, as the leaders of the coordinators, do is we do not do the it's our way or that's it. It's always if someone's like, hey, I have an idea. And so the dishes, I mean, the honest fact is we run out of dishes during Saturday lunch and Saturday dinner every single year. We have to cycle them through, and because there's no way Mofka can buy that many. And when you have 2,000 volunteers and 1,400 of them are sitting together, they can't have 1,400 spoons. I mean, that's just a ridiculous thing for one meal a year. So, you know, a lot of people bring their own stuff. And then we also have lovely volunteers that go around with bus bins as people are still socializing and say, can I have that? And we cycle it through and we tell everybody as they're waiting in line, don't worry. Like, as soon as you have utensils, there's food for you to eat. But the dish situation is wild. And for every person that gives up their time to work in the dish area and clean all of that, they're really the grease that makes that fair go round.
100%. And I mean, that dish pit keeps rolling until the wee hours of the morning.
Well, it doesn't close.
Yeah.
They the dishes run 24 hours a day starting Thursday night.
Wow. Thank you so much for bringing that to light, because it's one of those things that we can talk about the food, we can talk about the meal prep and all of those amazing things that go on in this space, but something as simple as having a spoon or a fork available and how much goes into putting that together so that it is available, not only for the volunteers, but for you folks who are working so hard in this space as well. What does your typical day look like at the beginning? I'm assuming that Friday is perhaps a little slower and then it just gets progressively busier for all of you.
We all get there Thursday mid-morning or afternoon. There's a dinner for 300-ish people that is not on the books, but we feed everybody that's there. So we start Thursday at like noon-ish, probably.
And then a crew to make sure we never forget is the crew that works overnights.
Thank you for bringing that up, Esby, because there are people who are there making sure that things are working as they should. So I'm so glad you mentioned that. Jeremy, what is one memory for you, perhaps, that you think of with the fair that is the most significant in all the time that you've served?
We've had the occasional weather where normally the fair weather is pretty gorgeous and perfect. It does get cold at night, and I have been surprised early in my fair experiences with the morning cold. But we had a windstorm one year that was pretty intense, and I think we did have one tree come down earlier in the day, and they decided for safety that we needed to evacuate all of the camping areas. And while a lot of people camped in their cars, the exhibition hall became a giant communal sleeping area. And it was something to see.
Wow. I can't imagine that. I'm so glad that most of the time the weather is quite nice for the fair. Devin, do you have a particular memorable experience or something you'd like to share?
This one's going to make Jeremy laugh really hard, but it has to be the deer.
Oh God, yeah.
So many years ago, somebody hit a deer coming into the fairgrounds, and the sheriff called us and he said, "Do you want the deer?" And we said, "Free meat for fair. Of course we do." But we couldn't bring the deer into the kitchen until it had been processed for safety and all of that. So Jeremy and Jason Desir strapped on headlamps and broke down the deer by headlamp so that we could take all of the usable meat. And the next day we served dinner, we served roadkill vindaloo. And so many people asked us, they're like, "Is this really roadkill?" And I was like, it really is. I mean, it's deer meat and it's safe and it's okay and it's
Yeah,
been broken down,
absolutely.
but this is, yes, folks, it is.
And it was fresh.
Yeah, all of it. And so that was just a funny one. I
Well,
mean, we'll
that's a
cook
fun
anything
one.
if someone brings it to us.
And speaking of that, Devin, is there anything that you are typically in need of when you are cooking for the whole weekend for so many?
Honestly, we used to have a really long wish list, but not everything is donated anymore because with the sheer volume we're doing, you can't ask small stores to donate that much olive oil and cooking oil because that's really expensive. So it used to be we were desperate for oil, but they do purchase that now. But really, we use what we have. That's part of that beautifully orchestrated chaos is, well, you've got 500 pounds of beets, then we're going to cook beets with every single meal. That's just the way it goes.
The year of beets and meats,
It
literal
is.
tons of beets, and was it eight pigs?
Yeah, it was something like that in a
Yeah.
goat that we broke down. If people donate whole animals or sides of animals on Thursday night after dinner goes out, we all get together before the kitchen starts becoming crazy, and that's when we break down the larger cuts of meat to usable portions, and then we can put them all in the walk-in to have because for sanitary reasons and food safety reasons, and just also out of respect for the number of vegetarians and vegans that may be offended seeing a whole animal be broken down, we kind of take care of that Thursday night when no one's around and then go from there.
And Espy, do you have a memorable experience that you'd like to share?
I think the year of beets and meats is maybe it's just the rhyming that is my favorite, but that one really does stand out to me because we had literal tons of beets and it just must have been a good year.
It's great to have you all here. This has been Common Ground Radio, which airs on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on WERU Community Radio. Archives of previous episodes can be found on weru.org as well as the WERU app.